this story about the Pharisee and the tax collector is unique to Luke's gospel. It doesn't appear in any of the other gospels. And it's related to one of the themes that Luke tends to emphasize through his gospel. And then one of the things he shows us throughout his gospel is Jesus constantly in prayer. He's showing us Jesus in prayer because prayer for him is a natural part of his relationship with his Father. And so he shows Jesus at critical times in his ministry. He shows us after his baptism in the Jordan, what does he do? He goes off into the desert to pray. He cures a leper, and we're told that he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. Right before he chooses the 12, he spends the night in prayer at the Transfiguration. Before teaching them the Lord's Prayer, what was he doing? He was at prayer. In the garden, the night before he died, he was in prayer. And even hanging on the cross, as his life was draining out of him, he prayed. And we've been hearing about prayer in these little stories in Luke's gospel. If you remember the one last week, it was the persistent widow and the judge who was unjust. And finally he decides she's so persistent that he will render a just judgment for her. Otherwise, he's afraid she's going to come and strike him. Well, tonight, in this excerpt from Luke, we're hearing that prayer must flow from a humble heart. And he gives us these characters as examples. Jesus tells us that the tax collector went home justified. Well, what's justified? What does that mean? Well, the Catechism speaks about this. There are two elements of this. It's about remission of sins. It's about sanctification. It's about kind of an inner renewal, right? It's like conversion. And we turn away from sin and we turn toward God and accept forgiveness. Forgiveness and righteousness from on high. See, righteousness is not something we confer on ourselves. It comes from on high. And because he was such a humble man in prayer, this tax collector, he was justified. That he was righteous in that way. So justification includes remission of sin, sanctification, and renewal. Did the tax collector do that? Did he turn toward God? Yeah. And the Pharisee, he turned toward himself. He turned toward himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. You know? And someday I'd like to meet someone who is not like the rest of humanity. Because there are only two people who ever walked the earth who are not like the rest of humanity. That's our Lord and his mother. They're not like the rest of humanity. Okay. But what about us? It made me think, you know, how many of us have been the tax collector in the story? I bet a lot of us have been that tax collector. You know, someone who knows he or she needs God's mercy. And we acknowledge that. We show humility before God. And we seek forgiveness. We stand in line for confession. We pray for God's forgiveness and mercy. But perhaps a lot of us have also been the Pharisee. The Pharisee who doesn't feel he needs God's mercy. You know, if I haven't been to confession in 5 or 6 years, maybe without realizing it, maybe I'm that Pharisee. If that's who I am. But the Pharisee justified himself. right? By all of these external things that he was about. And he thought that's what justified him. So our attitude in prayer is about persistence, like we heard last week, but it should also be about humility and trust. Humility and trust. So let me close. I wanted to share a couple of quotes with you before I close. One is St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he gives us this advice. He says, we must speak to God as a friend speaks to a friend, servant to his master, now asking some favor, now acknowledging our faults, communicating to him all that concerns us, our thoughts, our fears, our projects, our desires, and in all things, seeking his counsel. Seeking his counsel. Probably one I found that was a little bit, probably easier to remember, Mahatma Gandhi. He wrote once that prayer is not asking, it's a longing of the soul. It's a daily admission of our weakness. And then he concludes, it is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. It's better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart.